Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making a mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day, new hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today. My heart and I'm gonna do my part and make this a positively beautiful day.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our final show for the year. Welcome to Here's to Your Health with me, yours truly, Dr. D, Dr. Doris Moton Sproul. I am just so happy to have you with me this evening on our final show for the year. And we're going to be doing something very interesting tonight. Remember, I told you that this is the night that we're going to be sharing our old-time remedies from the past. This is like a blast from the past. And, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. It's very interesting how from time to time you'll hear about different health modalities, that's new things on the scene. And a lot of them are, some of them are really beneficial, but then some it's just like, okay then. And it's interesting, I heard one today. and I'm going to be sharing it with you. But first of all, I want to let you know that Here's to Your Health is brought to you by the Poetic Energy Network Station. And here on Blog Talk Radio, you know, Blog Talk Radio is actually the wave of the new wave of the future as far as communication is concerning. You know, there's so many things going on Blog Talk right about now, and I would suggest you check it out. Check out the lineup. There's the Poetic Energy Network Station. They really have a lot going on right now. They really have a lot of shows going on in the lineup, different days of the week. And some of them you might really be interested in. Some maybe not, but it's, you know, just check it out and see for yourself. So without further ado, I want to let you guys know that I am a naturopathic doctor. I am not an MD. I am not a medical doctor. And the things that you hear on Here's to Your Health, it's really information to help you to want to empower yourself, to take charge of your own health. You know, there's so many things going on now. You know, doctors are telling people by a certain age you should have all these different kind of tests. But you know what? We must seek God in all that we do. We have to have wisdom. Excuse me, there's a lot being done now for the sake of that almighty dollar. And we just have to know that everything that's being offered to us and thrown our way, it's not always beneficial for us. So you just have to know that, and you have to know how to seek God. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And we have to know how to do that. So that's what we're all about here on Here's to Your Health. It's just about, you know, accurate and thorough information being passed simply and solely for the purpose of educating you, for you to educate yourself, for you to take control of your own health. Because if you don't take control of your health, someone else will take control of it later. You know, we live in a country that we don't have a health care system here in this country. We have what's called a disease-managed society here. This is the society that we live in. It's managing disease. So we have to know how to stay healthy, how to keep ourselves healthy. We have to know how to eat the right foods that's conducive to us living a quality life, not just existing. You know, I mean, who wants to just exist, just to maintain? I want to thrive. I want to feel good when I get up in the morning. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to just be, okay, well, I may as well go on and do this. I don't feel like, that's not how I want to live my life. I want to thrive. I want to be a blessing to others. I want to get out and help others and maintain a healthy, balanced life. And you have to have wisdom in doing that, because there's all kinds of things on the market. It's all kinds of things being promoted. Everything, I had a person to tell me the other day concerning Dr. Oz promoting something. Don't get me wrong, I don't have anything against Dr. Oz, but keep in mind, Dr. Oz is a medical doctor, and his format is really ingenious the way they set it up, where he'll come in and he'll talk about a few, you know, natural things and have a few natural people, but then, you know, he'll tell you about the aspirin and different things like that and the different medical tests. And, I mean, I'm not mad at Dr. Oz. If that's the way he wants to promote it, then that's fine. But we have to know that everything that we hear promoted is not always good for. And in fact, if you take a lot of these things that you hear promoted on Dr. Oz every single day, I mean, are you supposed to take those things every day, all this stuff? So that's all I'm saying. We have to know. You have to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away. You got to know when to run. So that's all I'm saying. But tonight, our show tonight is going to be, like I said, sharing. What are some of the things that your mother or your grandmother or your aunt or uncle or whoever, what are some of the natural things that they did when you were young? What are some of the natural things that, you know, you saw being used in your home? I know we had tons of them because we didn't go to the doctors. We didn't have money to go to the doctors like people do now. In fact, I told a lady at my church once told me, she said that the reason we go to the doctor so much is because we have that plastic card, that health care card. So that enables us to be able to run to the doctor for any and everything, anything it enables us to be able to run to the doctor for. So, you know, and I think that has a lot to do with it, too, because back when I was coming up, we didn't have money. My mother didn't have money to just take us to the doctor when we got a runny nose or when we had a fever or stumped a toe or, you know, all this kind of thing. We didn't have money for that. We didn't have medical insurance, so we didn't always just run to the doctor. But we had wonderful, awesome care. She took very good care of us, you know, and that's the main thing. We got to go back to the foundation, go back to the time of the days of old. You know, what was first will be last, and last will be first. And we're getting back to that. We're getting back to, you know, I'm seeing more gardens. I saw more gardens this year than I have in times past, and I'm sure that we're going to see even more gardens. We're going to get back to the days of the little home gardens where everybody had a little patch plowed up in their backyard where they were growing something. You know, we're going to get back to those days because it's really becoming more efficient if we do. You can control what you're putting on your vegetables and things like that. I remember when I was coming up, a lot of people in the neighborhood had fruit trees and garden, and my mother did a lot of canning. And we are beginning to learn to go back to those days. We're going to be holding canning classes here at my facility. In fact, we have a wellness presentation coming up on January the 1st, the first day of 2013. We're having a wellness presentation. Yeah, I want you to come out, and it's New Year's Day. You know, that's the day when mainly people are making what's called New Year's resolutions and all these types of things. This is a day where we're going to come together, us health enthusiasts. It's going to be for an hour and a half in the evening, that evening, January the 1st. And I invite you to come on out, New Year's Day, New Year's evening, to learn how to keep those nasty colds and flu bugs at bay and how chronic disease prevention can be as easy as simple, simply just light some light style changes and some nutritional modifications. And I want you to bring somebody you love, somebody you care about, and we're just going to learn how to get healthy and how to stay healthy. You must RSVP. You must. Go to my website. It'll tell you all about it on my website, how you can, you know, RSVP for this upcoming wellness seminar. Just getting together. People of like minds getting together, and we're sharing information with you on how to get healthy and stay healthy. Go to my website, www.yourgoodhealth.info, and you can learn more about it, learn more about that upcoming wellness presentation. Also, I'd like to, someone emailed me and said that I mentioned the tea that I drink in the evenings, and I'm thankful how you guys really listen to some of the things I'll be saying. When I shared that information about that tea, I was just having my evening cup of tea, and it's called Relaxed Mind. And sometimes after I've had a real busy day, if I've been running around doing a lot of different things and running hither, yither, and yon, as they say, it's kind of hard for me to wind down in the evening, so I'll have a cup of tea. And I found this tea that I really, really, really like, and it's by Yogi, and it's called Relaxed Mind. And it says that it promotes tranquility, and I really believe it does because, I mean, it helps me to just unwind. And normally on the night, this is the night that I stay up the latest when I do this radio show because normally I'm in the bed by 9 o'clock. I'm normally asleep by 9:30. So this tea has a lot of wonderful herbs in it. It's a blend. It's organic. It's all organic, and it has sage leaf and lavender and nettle leaf and skull cap and a lot of good things, blackberry, helichrysum, lemon, and it's just an awesome tea. So check it out. Try it. I'm sure you'll like it. I love it. I got mine sitting here, and I'm just letting it steep a little bit. So tonight we're going to share some information. What are you remember some of the remedies that your mother or grandmother did when you were young? What are some of the things that took place in your house, the healing for healing? One night I mentioned that everybody I know had a hot water bag. You know, was that the case in your household? Did you have a household bag? We knew it because it hung right up above the shower, the little shower spout in the bathroom. So everybody had one. That's where it hung. And in my house, it was used for so many different things until I have always had a hot water bottle in my house. Always. It was used to comfort for those times when you have upset stomachs or if you kind of had the chills. My mother would wrap that thing in a big towel, one of those big old fluffy body towels. Well, now I found out it's a beach towel. We always had a big beach towel, and she would wrap that thing up. And I'm telling you, when you grab that thing and hug that towel wrapped up, that hot water bottle wrapped up in that towel, it was such a comforting thing. So what are some of the old remedies and holistic things that your parents did, that your grandma did? I have a lady that I'm trying my best to get to come on the show, and I'm gonna do it. I'm believing God that she's going to come on. This lady is such a wealth of wisdom, and she shares different things with me about the healing process that her grandmother, she was raised by her grandmother, and some of the things that her grandmother used to do in order to keep her healthy, and if she got sick or if she got a cold or stomach ache. And it is just, it's like listening to her read a book when I hear her talk about these different things that, you know, happened, that took place in her house. So tonight I want you to, this is our last show for the year, guys. That there won't be a show next year. There'll probably be a rerun show on next week because it's Christmas. In fact, what'll happen is we'll probably have a show in place that a previously aired show. So, and then the week following that, we won't be on because that's New Year's. That's coming into January, so we won't be on that following Tuesday either. So I just want you tonight, I want you to chime in tonight. Often so many times you all listen in, and I really, really appreciate that. But tonight, let's share with one another. You know, just one or two things that your parents use, your grandmama use, your mama use, you know, your mother, you, when you were coming up, to help promote healing and good health in your home. So with that being said, for those of you that want to chime in, all you do is press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I can bring us in, and you can share a tidbit with us about some of the things that, you know, were used in your home to help promote healing. That's all. I know there's so many. I've had people to email me different things, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I never even thought about anything like that. You know, using banana pills. Were banana pills ever used in your home as far as healing is concerned? If so, for what? Onions and garlic. I'm talking about other than the onions and garlic, other than eating. Were they used in any other ways to help promote healing? In my house, they were. So that's what I want us to share tonight. So I'm asking everybody to please chime in tonight, because I got my pencil and paper ready, and I'm ready to hear some of your modalities, some of your remedies that were used, and I'm willing to share some of mine tonight. So with that being said, also I want to share, I heard today that someone said, don't be surprised, excuse me, if the next time you go to your doctor, whatever doctor it is, they ask you to sit on the floor to do a checkup. A new study says testing a person's ability to sit down and then rise up from the floor could provide useful insight into their overall health and longevity. I have been doing this all day long, sitting down on the floor and getting up. But this research was done by some Brazilian researchers, and they discovered an interesting link between a person's ability to sit and rise from the floor and the risk of being 6.5 times more likely to die in the next 6 years. Yeah, this was a real study. The study published in the European Journal of Cardiovascular Prevention included a simple test in which more than 2,000 people ages 51 to 80 attempted to sit down on the floor and then stand back up using as little support as possible. Now, chairs can be used, they can be helpful too to measure a person's strength and lower body fitness. All you do, they said, is have a person to stand up from a seated position, and doctors will assess your overall frailty. Do you have to hold on to the arms of the chair, or if there are no arms of the chair, do you have to hold on, take your hand, and push yourself up from the seat of the chair? Because if you have to do this, then they say that you are at risk for falls and fractures and things like that. But this new test has some real life application. Instead of simply just gauging a person's ability to get up off the couch, the seating test helps identify risks associated with picking up vital items, such as a medical bottle or some kind of bottle, herb bottle, or your glasses that drop from the floor. It says it can also identify those risks of spending hours or longer on the floor. You know, sometimes when people fall, that's why this life alert thing and all these things are so popular now, because a lot of times when a person falls, they can't get up. So that's why a lot of these tests are really coming about now. But now, this test it says it's not just a get up test, but this test actually lets the doctor know the level of your physical activity. And so what you do is you sit down on the floor, and then they want to see you get up using as little assistance as you can, not putting your hand on the floor and pressing your way up, not putting your hands on your knees and pressing your way up, but seeing how you can get up and with stability, get up from a seated position on the floor and without a tendency to wobble or to fall or anything like that. And they say this test actually will let a doctor know whether or not your physical level of activity is really high or low. And I'm telling you, it's really something to do to just sit down on the floor and then just get up using as little assistance as you can. So try it. They say that more than half the participants that were ages 76 to 80 failed the test, scoring from a zero to a three. And it's not surprising, they said, because around 70% of those under 60 earned a near perfect or perfect score of an 8, 9, or 10. So I don't know. It's kind of strange the way they score it, but just try it to see for yourself. Just, sit down on the floor. But what's so interesting about this test, now this is what I found interesting. It says, just two subjects that scored 10 in the follow-up of about 6 years. Two subjects that scored 10 died in the follow-up of about 6 years. So during the course of the study, 159 of the 2,000 volunteers died, with a majority of the death coming from the group that had the most terrible getting up and down, those that really had a hard time getting up and down. Just some information being passed on. Just take a seat on the floor and see if, whether or not you have a hard time getting up or not. It's really something to do. You really have to be kind of flexible and you know, to be able to just sit down and then get up without pressing your way up on the floor or your knees. Just the way I did it, the way I was able to bounce up, I put one knee down and I sat down, and then I got on that same knee and I just took my other leg, my other foot, and just stood up. But it took a couple of times to do that. So, yeah, that's called the sit-down and stand-up test. So let's get with it. Okay, what are some of the remedies that were used when you were growing up to promote healing? One thing in my house that was used a lot was ginger. Ginger. We had ginger. Back during those days, even ginger, remember the Burner's Pop? Burner's had real ginger in it. It doesn't anymore. It has no ginger in it whatsoever. But my mother either kept ginger pop in the house or either ginger root. The herb, the powder. She always kept ginger. And it was good for so many different things. And, you know, the benefits of ginger have been used for centuries. Ginger is an excellent herb to keep all the time. You know, when we did I think it was a little over a month ago, I gave you a list of things that should always be in the house, and ginger was one of those. You can take a few slices of ginger and put them in some boiling water, some water that's been boiled, and it'll help soothe a cold. It's good for a cold. It's good for any kind of digestive problem with the stomach. It's good for the throat. It can also ward off feelings of nausea. I've had a lot of pregnant people, women, that I suggest ginger to, and it always works. I have never had one yet to say, you know, that ginger didn't work for me. Ginger always works. It's also good for nausea that's oftentimes accompanied by influenza. And one study showed that about a gram of ginger can alleviate clinical nausea. And, I mean, why shouldn't you keep it? You know, any kind of nausea, it can alleviate any kind, even diverse causes of nausea. So not one that we always had was ginger. What are some of the things that were used in your household. That's what we're talking about tonight. And we want you to share. Press option one on your telephone keypad, and let's hear some of the things that your parents, your mom, mama, your grandmama, my dear, you know, what some of the things that they use to help keep you healthy. Another thing that we had a lot of was honey. My mama always had honey. We would have honey tea, honey and ginger tea, honey and peppermint tea. My mother would take honey and cut up radishes in water, and we would have honey and radish tea for sore throats and if any kind of, if you you know how you can feel the lymph nodes up under your throat sometimes, and they'll be a little swollen. We used to call them kernels under our throat. She would give us cut radishes up in boiling water with honey, and we would sip on that. And do you know it would take those lymph nodes would go down in our throat. They had become inflamed. It would actually, but normally we would sip on the tea at night, and then the next morning the sore throat would be gone, the swelling would be gone, everything. The throat would feel better. Honey in a tea with lemon, we had that a lot of times because lemons were plentiful. You know, back during that time, you could get like, lemons were like a dime, you know. So we had a lot of lemon. So she used lemon with honey in a tea, and it was good for any kind of sore throat pain. And honey is very antiviral. It has awesome antiviral and antibacterial properties in it. There's nothing better than good honey. And it's, you know, they used to say don't give it to children that's under a year old, but we found out that if it's good wild honey, raw organic honey, children don't have any problems with it. So that's something you want to use caution with. You know, you do it as you see fit. But and it's because honey contains spores, and while these spores are not harmful to adults, but to sometimes to children and infants, they can be kind of their systems are so pure until they don't have the ability to fight off bacteria. And these little spores are called botulinum spores. So, you know, just use caution when you're using honey with a baby. Another thing that we had all the time in the house, garlic. I have it in my house now. Sometimes when people come in, they say, you know, I can smell garlic. I have garlic everywhere in my home. I love it. Sometimes if my throat is feeling a little raspy, I'll chew me a clove before I go to bed at night. You know, I use it for a strep throat remedy that we do with the cayenne pepper and the honey and the garlic, and mix it up. It'll literally annihilate strep throat in 12 to 24 hours. So garlic is just an awesome herb to always keep in the house. And you can add it to anything that, for any cooked foods, anything you're steaming and stuff like that. And it is especially good to have around cold and flu season. So garlic was another one that we used a lot. What are some of the things that you use? I'm anxious to hear tonight from you guys. You know, I want to hear some of the things that that took place in your house when you were coming up. My mother used a lot of herbs. She was the herb lady. She used a lot. We had herbs for everything. What are some of the things that were used in your house? Salt water. Anybody remember gargling with the salt water? I do. I remember. Any kind of sore throat, any kind of upper respiratory infections that we had, my mother would give us salt water, take salt and put it in water, warm salt water, and we would gargle the throat with it. And it was all during the day, but especially at night before bed, she would have us to gargle with salt water. We ate a lot of oranges, vitamin C, a lot of lemons. A lot of times if we had sore throats, we would take a little sliver of lemon and sprinkle a little bit of salt on it, and we would eat that lemon. And that was good for sore throats. Well, of course, now we don't do the salt thing anymore. We're not doing that anymore. But lemon is, just talking about lemon make my mouth salivate. We ate a lot of lemons and oranges and apples. And did anybody use apples for constipation? Did your mother use apples for constipation? We were never constipated because we ate apples all the time. You know that old adage we used to hear all the time, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Well, I'm telling you, in my house, that was definitely the case because we ate a lot of apples, a lot of fruit. So that was another thing that we had in our home. Treating colds, you know, it was funny how when you had a sore throat, you didn't want to eat anything, but applesauce was always good. And my mother would make homemade applesauce, take an apple and core it, and make fresh applesauce, and she would put a cinnamon in it, and it would be so good. Put it in the refrigerator and let it get chilled. And on a sore throat, when that throat is really sore, it felt so good, and it tasted, it was just outstanding. For pink eye, you know, I am just so surprised how back during those days, even with treating something that they say is so serious now as the pink eye, back then my mother always kept boric acid in the house, and she would make up a boric acid solution, and we would rinse our eye. We had a little, it wasn't an eye cup, it was more or less like a shot glass. One of those little liquor shot glasses, and she would take it and put the boric acid solution in there, and we would put it on our eye, and she'd say, open your eye and just look all around in the boric acid solution. And we would do it throughout the day, but then she would always have us do it right before we got ready to go to sleep. And we'd wake up the next morning because, you know, pink eye can really hurt. It's things that hurt, you know, with the movement of your eye. But she would always have us to do that. And when we woke up the next day, it would either be gone or almost gone, you know. So she would always use boric acid to help clean out our eyes, not only for just pink eye, but anything, any kind of irritation of the eye. Eye infections, if we had styes on the eyes. You know those little bumps you can get right on your eyelid, on your upper eyelid, or on the bottom of your eyelid, those little styes. If we had those, she would use a boric acid solution for that as well. And even sometimes she would put drops of honey in some warm water and use it on the affected eye or as a pink eye remedy. But it can burn a little bit, but it always did the job. Another thing she used for the eye was cayenne pepper. Yep. She would take water and boil it and put cayenne pepper in it and let it sit for a while, not too long, because she didn't want it too strong. But then she would strain it off and either white cloth strips that she always kept, or cheesecloth or something like that, but she would strain it off. And it would burn a little bit. It would sting a little bit, but it would cause whatever it was, whatever that ailment was with the eye, it would be gone in a day or so. So that's another thing that's awesome for anything concerning the eye, any kind of eye discomfort, any kind of burning, anything like that, is cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper brings healing by promoting bringing blood to the area, which promotes healing. And it's just awesome. You would think something like cayenne pepper, no way. But if you ever have any kind of problem with the eye, just try it, and you'll see. This is something that one of my mom's friends, she was from Jamaica, and when we would have a fever blister, she would tell us to she would have us to come to her, and she would get a little of our earwax out of our ear and spread it on that fever blister. The next day, it would be gone. Earwax from your ear. That's what this my mom's friend would use for fever blisters. I'm telling you, it was that was the most amazing thing. And when she first said it, I thought, wow, yuck, you know. But it worked every single time. Come on, you guys, I want to hear from you tonight. Are you going to share tonight? This is my last show for the year. So I just want to hear some things that your parents use, your mother or father use to help promote healing in your home. You know what? I know everybody know this one. We was brought up on chicken soup for a cold. If you had a cold, you got chicken soup. And it was always that Campbell's chicken soup. A lot of times my mother would make homemade chicken soup because she made a lot of chicken pot pies. We had a lot of chicken pot pies and things like that, chicken and dumplings and things like that. So she would make it. But in a pinch, we always kept chicken noodles. She always kept. And, you know, it's funny how back during those times when you think about it, the chicken soup actually made you feel better. You know, was it the salt? What is it? What was it? It actually made you feel better. During those times when you didn't even have an appetite, if you could get a little bit of that chicken soup down, even the little broth from it, it would promote an appetite. It would cause you to want something else to start, you know, it would like spark that appetite so you want to eat something else. Chicken soup, and still, from what I understand, a lot of people I talk to today say chicken soup is still the number one facilitator of health in their home, chicken soup. Being that I'm vegan, I no longer do I don't do meat, but I will do a nice vegetable broth if I'm feeling kind of, you know, on one of those days when I just, that's why I tell people I am not raw. I am a raw chef. I am not 100% raw. I don't have a desire to be 100% raw. For those that do it, it's fine. But for me, it's not for me. I've tried it, and it just didn't work for me. I more or less embrace the Hallelujah Acre diet or eating regimen. I eat 85% raw, about 85. Some days it's more, and about 15% steam food or cooked food sometimes. But I like having the option. A lot of times for toothpaste. What did you use in your home for toothpaste? When the tube would run out, you know, when you beat in squeeze it and you came, you know, to the last drop and then took something and split it open, no more toothpaste, what did you use? A lot of times we use baking soda. Baking soda. And you notice a lot of the toothpaste now have baking soda? We use baking soda and to brush our teeth with. And it didn't taste that good, but, you know, it really worked. It really worked. The teeth were just, our teeth were just as pretty and white. Baking soda for earache. What was used in your home for earache? And ours, my mother always kept sweet oil. Sweet oil. in our isn't it something how you can think back on some of those times and you can almost see exactly, you know, it's like an out of body experience when you can go back to the times, because we had such good times when we were growing up. You know, everybody helping each other, and it was just a whole different time. But my mother used sweet oil if we had an earache. And I guess it was because the way she used, my mother had healing hands. She would, you know, her hands were always warm, and they just promoted healing. She would lay us in her lap, lay our head in her lap, and she would have a little warm sweet oil if we had an earache. A lot of times we would say, you know, oh, my ear hurts, just so that we could get that little attention of her laying us on her lap, and she would drop a couple of drops of warm sweet oil down in our ear, and then take a warm, she would have a hot water bottle wrapped in a towel, and then she would just lay it on that ear, and you just lay there in her lap for a little while, and then she'd turn you over and do the other ear. And it was when we were getting ready to go to bed, then it would be bedtime. Go to bed and sleep like a baby. So that's something else that she did to promote healing, was use sweet oil. Let me see. Warm baths. Warm baths was so therapeutic when I was coming up. And my mother would always sit, if we weren't feeling well, she would run us a warm bath, and then she would sit there and rub our chest and wash our chest and our back. You know, that is such a healing, that's such a healing, therapeutic way to help the body heal itself. Laying on the hands, touching. I remember this thing she used to do if we had a fever. She would lay us down in the bed and take her hand, and she would start at our forehead, and she would rub from our forehead down over our eyes and nose all the way down, and lightly touching all the way down. And she would do one side, the left side, all the way off the toe, and then she would shake her hand. And do you know that is a very prevalent mode of healing it's been used for centuries. I don't know where she got it from, but it would always help us to feel better, and that fever would leave. Something else she would do if our temperatures got really high, she would fill us full of fluid, and she would take onions and put on our abdomen. If we had really high temps, and she would just wrap onions around with the white sheets that, you know, I told you she never would throw away her sheets, and she, big strips. And the next day, those onions would be cooked. They would be like sauteed onions, and the fever would be gone. And she would always say, the fever went into the onions. And that was amazing to me, because the onions looked like they were cooked. But that's something else she did. I'm waiting to hear from you guys tonight. I know you're listening in, but I'm waiting to hear some of it. What do you have to share tonight concerning healing? Menstrual cramps. Remember those dreaded old menstrual cramps? What did you use? What did your mom use for those? In my house, it was always ginger, hot ginger tea, sip on hot ginger tea, and a hot water bottle. I told you that hot water bottle, oh, man, that hot water bottle was our friend. Because not only was it a hot water bottle, but then, you know, if you would fall and hit that shin bone and that big bruise came up on the shin bone, then it can be used put cold water in to help remove the swelling. So in our house, the hot water bottle was always our friend for toothache. My mother would take cloves, you know, the cloves that you use to put in your hands. She would take the cloves and grind them up and put it on the tooth or around the gum, and she would just have us to hold it there for a minute. And do you know oil of cloves? Oil of cloves is really a wonderful oil to use for any kind of, if there's a tooth coming in, if you have a toothache, until you can get to the dentist to have it checked out. It will alleviate the pain and swelling because of the antibacterial properties in it. But at that, during that time, we didn't have the essential oils, but she did have cloves. So she would take a little clove and make a paste. She would take a little clove and powder it up, grind it up, and then put a couple of drops of olive oil with it and pack it all around that tooth. And it would take away the pain. The pain would be gone. And for bad breath, the same thing, cloves. Take a couple of cloves and throw them in your mouth, and there you have it, fresh breath in a natural way. Another thing she used for upset stomach was saltine crackers. You know, I remember when we had upset stomach, that would be one of the first things she would try would be the saltine crackers. Here, take a couple of crackers and the ginger or the ginger ale, the burners, and drink a little of that, and it will settle the stomach. Those are just some natural things. For deodorizing our home, I remember so many days coming in from playing outside, and you can smell either clothes, and you'd be thinking, oh, she's baking a ham or something like that, or either a lemon, the citrusy smell. And the way she would do it is just put a little pot on the stove and put some water in it, and either put some clove in it or cloves and lemon peels and orange peels, and just let it steep, and it would fill the air with this wonderful fragrance of just, it would actually make you think of a holiday time, the smell. And this very day, if I take some water and put some cloves in it and some rinds of the lemon and the orange, it takes me back, it transports me back to that time. You know, smell, the sense of smell is really an awesome sense. It transports me back to the time when I would come in and I would smell the air filled with lemon and that citrusy smell, where she would have this steeping in a pot on the stove. Wow, just some wonderful things. Okay, now I know this is one that was probably used in everybody's house. What was the remedy for hiccups? That's a silly one, isn't it? What was the remedy for hiccups? In our house, she would take her finger and dip it, tap her finger in the sugar, and have you lick your tongue out and tap your tongue, and do you know it would actually take away the hiccups? But I'm wondering if that was more like a mind over matter thing, you know, like the power of suggestion. You know, like with the placebo effect, if you tell a person, here, this is going to do this, and this is going to take away your pain, and this is one of the strongest pain relievers it is, and they take it and it take away the pain, but it's nothing more than a sugar tablet, the placebo effect. I think maybe that's what that was, because she would always say, okay, lick your tongue out. This is going to stop those hiccups. And she would just tap it, and the hiccups would be gone. So I think that might be the power of suggestion. My brother's had another way of helping you get over the hiccups, and that's scaring you half to death, jumping from behind a closed door or, you know, something like that. And that really got rid of the hiccups. So I just want to share some things with you tonight. I want to remind you, go to my website, check out the information on the upcoming wellness presentation, January the 1st, January day, 2013. Can you imagine saying that? 2013 already. Looks like this year just, it just flew by. Wow, it's gone. We're about to come into a new year, guys, and it's really been a ball. I've had a ball doing this show, and next year we're looking to incorporate some more things that would be really advantageous to you, to all of us. So just stay tuned. I want you to know that I thank you so very much for tuning in every Tuesday night. You know, I appreciate your loyalty and your patronage and your support. And, you know, I just love it when we can get together on a different, what do you call it, a different program. You know, there's so much going on during the courses of our day. We're being bombarded with so many things, so much news. I don't even watch the news. I tell you, the news I get is when I log on to my internet in the beginning of the day, and then I'm very selective as to what I watch because I don't want anything interfering with my solitude, my peace. So a lot of times I hear things from people, did you hear this happen or that happen? But I just want you guys to know that I really appreciate you, each and every one of you. I appreciate all the emails I get, the questions being asked, and the things that you share with me through email. I had one lady to say, I listen to you every week, but I'm just too shy to say anything, and that's okay. That's quite all right, because one day, you're going to get over that shyness and you're going to press that number one, and before we know it, we're going to hear your voice. So until that day happens, it's quite all right. It's fine. So I just want to thank you once again for tuning in, and I pray that each and every one of you have a blessed holiday, a blessed holiday season, a wonderful and happy and blessed new year. Take time to take care of you. Put on your oxygen mask first. You know, like they tell us on the airplanes, the flight attendants say, you know, when that oxygen mask falls down, should something happen, take care, put yours on first before you start helping anybody else. Put your oxygen mask on first. Take care of yourself. Take control of your health. And Lord's will, we'll do it again next year. We'll come back and be with each other again next year. It won't be the 1st of January, but it will be the 8th of January. Oh, that's my daughter's birthday. So it'll be the 8th, but I look forward to seeing you guys then. And like I said, just take care of yourself. Be good to yourself. And I hope you've enjoyed the program and the show this year. And like I said, we're looking forward to bigger and better things for next year, some more sharing and caring, because sharing is caring and caring is sharing. So that's what we want to do. Go to my website, www.4yourgoodhealth.info. And if you want to shoot me an email, you can do so at the letter Y as in yellow, B as in boy, P as in Paul, O as in orange, 411@yahoo.com. Thanks so very much, everybody. Have a blessed night. I love you all.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes. Just chances we've taken, lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful. finding.